Well, good morning again. And it's hard to believe another feast is over and another last great day is beginning. And one thing I think the feast teaches us is that it's all temporary, because it goes quickly and it's over and we got to go home and wait for another year. But I guess one day it won't be temporary, it'll be permanent. And we're looking forward to that day. That's what this day is about. You know, God has ways of teaching us through his physical creation and through things that he's made. If you think about it, I can't think of any exception of a thing that God has created that has not given us some sort of spiritual lesson. From the tiniest particle inside the nucleus of an atom, all the way to the largest galaxy that we can observe, everything he has created teaches us something. And that goes along with the holy days and the Sabbath. All of his institutions teach us. He is a great teacher. He's the great rabbi. And the lessons that he teaches us are things that will help us in our spiritual lives. Now, in 2009, Mr. Bowles gave a series of sermons on the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, it's one fruit but many attributes. And there was love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, these are all components that will grow when watered by God's Spirit. They are all outgoing in nature if you look at them. And because indeed, that's the very nature of our Father in heaven. He's an outgoing person. Today I want to focus on one of those attributes, the spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit called joy. Now, Mr. Bowles had pointed out in his message on joy that godly joy is something that looks forward. It's a forward-looking attribute. It looks beyond the present. And today is a day which we look forward to the culmination of God's plan. It is a forward-looking day. So how does this tie into an offering? Well, we're commanded to come before God three times a year, and we do bring an offering on every holy day in three seasons. But what does that have to do with joy? Well, let's turn to Deuteronomy 16 and verses 16 through 17, and we'll read the scripture we normally read for offertories. And it's the commandment that God gives us about offerings. Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. It's clear that we are commanded to come before God with an offering. But what's just as clear is in that command is how we are to give that offering. We're to give according to our blessings. It's the manner, it's not necessarily the amount we give, it's the manner in which we give it. Our Creator has given us these holy days to help us focus on his kingdom and how we are to arrive there. And let's see how God looks at this kingdom. And we'll turn to Luke 12, verse 32, another well-known scripture, a very powerful scripture. Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God not only gives us the kingdom, look at the manner in which he gives it to us. It gives him great pleasure. Now, that word, great pleasure, in Greek means to think well of or to officially approve. So he thinks well of, he approves giving us his kingdom. Now, let's read that scripture in the New English Translation. This is the New English Translation. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is well pleased to give you the kingdom. Well pleased. And in the Common English Bible, do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. And finally, in the New Living Translation, so don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. This is how God gives. You see, giving of and by itself is really nothing. The amount we give, it's good, but it's not why we're giving it. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, we can be a real big giver, and it can mean nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not charity, it profits me nothing. So you can go and put $1 million or $1 billion in that basket, and if you're not giving it in the right attitude, it doesn't mean anything. It's just money. God doesn't need our money. He needs our character. He needs us to look forward to his kingdom. You know, it's only when we give that offering with love and joy does it become a godly offering. God's great attribute, his godly attribute, is giving with joy. And he wants us to develop that attribute because it is a godly attribute. Anybody can give. Not anybody can give with joy and love. Not everybody. Now, Paul confirms just how we are to give our offering in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this word cheerful comes from the Greek word hilaros, which means cheerful or glad. It's where we get the word hilarious. Now, the English connotation of hilarious really doesn't apply here. You don't have to laugh uncontrollably when you give your offering. But it means to give with joy, to give with gladness. Let's read that verse in the New English, Bible in Basic English. Every man to do after the purpose of his heart, not giving with grief or by force, for God takes pleasure in a ready giver. And in the New English, the New Living Translation, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You shouldn't be compelled to give because your neighbor's giving, or you're forced, or you feel like you have to give because it's a holy day and I just have to give an offering today. That's not the way to do it. Every physical thing around us teaches us about how God gives. Look at what he's given us, physically and spiritually. The physical act of us putting that money in the envelope and the way in which we do it teaches us a lesson that will last for eternity. It teaches us to look forward to his kingdom. It teaches us to look forward to a government that's based on joyful giving for eternity. When we give joyfully, we're mimicking our Father in heaven, who is the greatest and most joyful giver ever.